are such a culture of wanting answers and fix it nows and immediacy. Mm-hmm. It's hard, I think, to take a step back and realize that there's not an immediate fix right now. This is new. This is uncharted for us. And we're not the only ones in this. I think when I think back, this is the first time, at least in my years on this earth, that we have all been as a planet in this together, mm-hmm. that we are all doing this and not knowing how to do this. And so there is no perfect way to have a stress response. There is no perfect way to stay isolated and locked down in your home when you're not used to that. And I think allowing ourselves and other people to kind of break down those expectations that we have for normal life, because right now it's not normal.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Hope Peace Together. This is a show that gets real about mental health struggles and how to overcome them. Here you'll find personal stories, practical tools, and professional insight for the journey towards mental well-being, whether that's for yourself, a loved one, or the community around you. This is a place where hope is definitely alive. Welcome to the show with your host, Sherry Burkhard.
Hi, this is the Hope Peace Together podcast and your host, Sherry. I'm here today with Lauren Hollis, who is a counselor in the Woodlands area. She's an LPC and a certified child life specialist. And I'm so glad to have you here today, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So I asked Lauren to come in and talk a little bit about everything that's going on with the coronavirus and just give a counselor's perspective on understanding our responses, the people's responses around us, and, you know, maybe even talking to our teens and children. So we've got a lot of information to share today, and I appreciate you guys joining in and listening. So Lauren, tell us first to start just a little bit about you and your background and what you focus on as a counselor.
Sure. So I originally started as a certified child life specialist in the hospital setting for about 8.5 years, working with a variety of families and kids. And through that process, found out a big need for counselors with the medical setting and just really providing support for those kids and families that are struggling. So I went back and I got my master's degree at Sam Houston State and became a licensed professional counselor. Through that process, worked at a children's advocacy center here in Montgomery County, and now I'm in private practice where I see a variety of different people.
And because of your interest, I knew in just medical, that was one of the reasons why I asked Lauren to come and chat with us today, because that's an area of interest for her. And since all of a sudden we've all kind of been thrown into this medical situation with the coronavirus, I thought that her perspective might be helpful. So with the onset of the coronavirus, we're seeing so many different reactions. Some people are angry, some people are anxious, some people are annoyed. I mean, it really runs the whole gamut of emotions that people are displaying. So I'd love to talk through some of those reactions and help people maybe understand a little bit about what might be behind that for them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is something that's new. We've never been through this before. We haven't had something like this that really impacts the entire world. And so there are a lot of different feelings. There's big feelings about it. There's feelings that you didn't even know you had. So fear about getting the virus, fear about spreading the virus, mm-hmm. fear of not knowing that a loved one or somebody that you have run into, a friend or a schoolmate, might have the virus. I think there's a lot of sadness of seeing others get the virus and not being able to support them in the way that we would like to normally support somebody that's sick. I think there's a lot of frustration from people not being able to get their essential needs or their normal daily needs that they do, and really spending a lot of time to do that. There's a lot of frustration behind that. We're also finding a lot of frustration about the different types of reactions people are having. So some people are coming in frustrated by the perceptions of other and what they're calling overreacting, mm-hmm. you know, hoarding things. And where in one person's mind, that's very normal and that's what helps them. Other people are frustrated by that. Frustrated and worried about the government making decisions in their everyday life. That can be very hard. And then you also have the tension that's going on in the home. So when you have spouses and families locked up together, so to speak, when you're normally in school and work and daycare and all these things, or at least at events going on, that can really make different responses happen between different people in the house. I think the other piece about this is we're so used to being a busy society where we're going all the time and we have activities planned that now we're having to stop. And that's not familiar. And so that can bring up a lot of different feelings inside of us too. Some people love it and some people are really struggling with it.
You know, you see the posts on Facebook about, you know, this is an introvert's dream and then an extrovert's nightmare. And I've got both probably in our house. So
yeah,
kind of get that wide range of reactions. And I think too that watching all the different responses around us, you know, it's easy to start to maybe like judge our own responses. Mm-hmm. Like we have the moment where we're judging other people's, but then you start to think, well, they're anxious. Well, does that mean I'm missing something if I'm not anxious? And so there's like a comparative factor in there too that rises up, especially maybe for those that I maybe tend to run a little bit hypervigilant because of some of my experiences in my life. And so, you know, you just don't want to miss something, I guess.
Absolutely. And we all bring different experiences into our life. And that kind of helps figure out how we're going to respond to other things. You know, this situation is a little unique that we all have these automatic responses to stress. So are we fighters? Are we flighters? Or do we freeze? And in this situation, we're finding people are struggling with not being able to really utilize their first initial automatic response. Mm-hmm. So somebody that would normally kind of freeze during stress and kind of revert, well, they're having to step out and go get things and prepare, which that might not be very natural for them. Or people that really want to fight this and get out there and, you know, have normal life, well, they're being told they can't do that. So that kind of natural tendency that we have in stress is kind of different right now too. And we always want to control things in our life. And right now, when you feel very out of control, you figure out what you can control, right? Mm-hmm. And so that could be getting food, that could be buying sanitizer, that could be washing your hands, whatever it may be. But sometimes when our control is taken away, we just have to figure out what is it in our life that we can control. And that can be really challenging when you feel the stress and the anxiety from others, or even just watching the news or social media. You know, if you didn't realize, like you said, that I'm a little hypervigilant, but I wasn't overly vigilant. And now I'm seeing all of this stuff. It can rise that up in you. And then you start worrying, should I be doing more? Should I be doing less? Am I doing what everybody else is doing? So it really does test us on what are we experiencing in that moment.
I like the fact that you brought up the control issue, because I know that's something that we've talked about in our household, because I am one of those people who tends, if I feel out of control, then I start to want to control the things around me. And that can be the people around me. And since we're all stuck together, really knowing that, okay, you know, I'm having to consciously at the beginning of the day, think about what's in my circle that I can, you know, address. And then, you know, I don't get to control my husband's response or my kid's response, or, you know, they get to have their own experience, but I'm kind of having to make a conscious decision just because I know that's my tendency in stress. So kind of having to think, okay, how am I going to combat this so we all get out of this without, you know, with a still a solid relationship. So
absolutely. And I think, you know, that brings up a point of figuring out what you need for yourself during this time. So whereas you want to kind of control everything, so recognizing that in you and being able to take a step back, and maybe it's, you know, go outside for a few minutes, or, you know, maybe there's a craft that you can do to control. So really recognizing in ourselves, what are the needs that we need right now? Is it to shut off the TV for a little bit because it's making our anxiety worse, our fears worse? Is it disconnect from social media and what everybody's doing for just a little while? So really getting in tune with what am I feeling at this moment? How is this impacting me? And I think, you know, when you're in a family, if you have people at home with you, really trusting what they're observing too. Sometimes it's hard to know that we're reacting this way until someone comes to you and is like, why are you telling me what to do all the time? And why are you trying to control everything? And so really not taking that so personally, but saying, okay, they're observing this in me. Maybe I'm having this reaction, and taking a step back. And so really trusting those people's observation of what's going on to then reevaluate, where am I at? What can I do to kind of calm myself down a little bit in this moment?
I think the other thing, when you and I talked on the phone before this podcast, we talked about the fact that if someone maybe already has, you know, an experience, like in my case, having some personal, you know, medical crises in our family before, this kind of situation can bring some of that up, you know, almost like a PTSD response. And so, you know, it was important for me, like when I was spending time journaling, to realize, oh, okay, wait, like some of the feelings I'm having are actually stemming from that past experience. So, you know, I can separate that out now. So is that something that you see or experience in your practice of past traumas or things coming into play and how we respond?
Yeah. So I think there's two things there that you mentioned. So the first one, talking about traumas, past traumas. So anytime someone's had a traumatic event in their life or past trauma, there might be triggers that trigger those feelings again, or feelings that they didn't realize were still there. And so I think it's important to remember that, let's say somebody was in war, it doesn't just have to be a bomb going off or a firecracker going off to trigger some of those feelings of fight or flight or those anxious stressors that they went through during war. It can be just the whole surrounding of stress, of that need of urgency, that need to be safe and to be isolated during certain things. And so it really can be any experience. And especially if you've had any type of medical trauma, you've been in a hospital, that was really an upsetting experience, which it's really never fun to be in a hospital. But if it's been overly traumatic, then this can elicit a lot of feelings. I think some of the things to remember is to recognize, what are you doing? What are the symptoms that are coming out? Are you having headaches? Are you having trouble sleeping? Are nightmares coming up? Flashbacks? Have your eating patterns changed? Some of these are symptoms of PTSD that could come back. Some of them we see people are having a hard time. They're withdrawing even more than we're already isolated as it is, but withdrawing even more. They're getting more anger, more aggression towards people, not really meaning to, just really kind of distancing, or they're being overly controlling and anxious or depressed. So really recognizing those things in yourself, or again, like we talked about, if somebody's coming to you and saying, hey, I'm concerned, these are things that I'm noticing are happening and changing in you, maybe that's a time to reevaluate, how is this really triggering my past experiences and my past trauma that I've been through? And really talking to those supportive people around you, you know, about, hey, if this starts to happen, this is how you can help me through this. This is how you can support me, because this is really hard for me and it's bringing up a lot from my past or for something that I've seen or witnessed. So it definitely is. We're seeing people that are really struggling with maybe even not classified PTSD, but some post-traumatic symptoms that are coming back. You know, the other piece about this is you mentioned mental health. So a lot of people already have existing mental health challenges with anxiety or depression or OCD, and this can really trigger them. You know, people that have social anxiety, well, normally they find ways to fight a crowd and not be in a very public place. Well, right now, anytime you go to the grocery store, it's going to be crowded.
Yep.
And that can elicit a lot of anxiety. Somebody that's normally struggling with depression, well, now you're telling them to stay inside and isolate themselves. Mm-hmm. That can really bring up that depression even more, because they're not being able to get into society and do those things that normally help them to stay out of a depressive state. And then you talked about kind of control, OCD things. Okay, so now we're saying let's confine our kids to the home. And if normally it's hard for you to really want to make sure your house is clean and picked up and everything's in order, and now everybody's confined to their home, that also could elicit a lot. So we're seeing a lot of mental health concerns that are starting to kind of be triggered through this too.
Well, and I think it is important to be aware of that, because if that is, you know, our tendency, self-care is all the more important right now. And I know that through some of the people that have called for resources in this time, it is, some of them are just proactive of, hey, I know that I struggle with depression. And so, you know, I was doing really good, but I just want to be prepared in case I want to know what's available in case I do need to, you know, reach out. So that's a great way to be proactive in that, if we know that, okay, that's something that's already, you know, back there in our mind as this could be a struggle for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And remembering that, you know, it's okay to expect that you might struggle during this time. You know, like we talked about earlier, I think you and I, somebody that might already be an anxious person, this could be a triggering event for them where all of a sudden they're starting to become anxious. So if you do have some of those underlying mental health concerns, to expect that it might be a little bit harder right now, and that's okay. There's ways to get help. Let's try some new things. You don't have to stick with the same routine that you've been doing, because we don't have that routine right now. We don't have that normalcy. And so that it doesn't mean you have to sit in that, that it can change, but it's really, like you said, really good to recognize that you have these and that what symptoms are changing in you, what feelings are coming up, and then to address them.
So I think one of the things that when I asked you to do this, we're struggling maybe with our own response, but then we're also seeing a lot of maybe judgment of people's responses around us, frustration when it's not our response. And so, you know, you're seeing a lot of commentary in the, you know, media and things mm-hmm. like that about those things. And so I just thought it was helpful to have a conversation. So as we're talking to our friends and our family members, we can understand, hey, their reaction may be more than just this event. They may be bringing other things into it. And so maybe hopefully that will help us have a little more grace and compassion for those responses that are different than our responses.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, during this time, we have to have a higher level of empathy for others. And that's really hard. It doesn't just come naturally. But to remember, we don't know what's going on in their home. We don't know what their past experiences have been. We don't know what they're hearing or being told or what medical problems they have or what loved ones might be affected by this. We just really don't know their reasoning for their responses. And so to remember that there's a reason they're responding that way. There's a reason that they're scared or anxious or frustrated. And we just have to be compassionate, like you said, and understand that everybody's going to have a different response, and that's okay. We don't have to agree with it, but we do need to show some compassion and maybe a little more patience and empathy towards that, that they're going through something and we're all in this together right now. Nobody's excluded from doing anything right now. So we're all following the same protocols and all feeling that frustration of not having our normal life. So asking everybody to have a higher level of empathy is really hard, but that's what we really need to do right now.
I know one of the phrases my husband and I use in our house, and I'm not sure, maybe it came from Brené Brown, I'm not sure, but the help me understand mm-hmm. your response to this, and then, you know, taking a second to listen mm-hmm. because, you know, I can make up my own story about, and I'm just picking on my husband because, you know, he's in the house with me, but help me understand your response to this so then I can take time to step back instead of filling in my own blanks about what that response mm-hmm. is. You know, he can maybe explain, like, I don't know, even though we're in the house together right now, I don't know what's happening in his office on the phone for work mm-hmm. and all the stress that's taking place in his day as things are changing. Or same with my daughter, you know, I mean, so just really taking time to ask each other, hey, help me understand your response to this.
Absolutely. I think, you know, that will help create a level of empathy is, you know, asking somebody. I think when we're out and about or we see things on TV and then we don't understand it, just realizing that, you know what, we don't have to understand why people are having this response. We just have to say, okay, that's the way right. they're responding.
Yes.
You know, and just have a level of sympathy that that's what they need to do in that moment for themselves. And that's okay if we don't understand everybody.
And I think we did it. We do quotes on social media on Thursday. And our quote on Thursday was something like that. And I can't remember verbatim what it was, but it was about we don't have to understand everything. We don't have to understand the big picture. We just can handle our response, which mm-hmm. is responding with compassion and hope. And I can't remember the three words, so I'll have to go back and look at that. But you know, just that reminder, because I think now too, part of wanting to have control is wanting to have answers. And so that can drive that hypervigilance of watching the news or all those different things, or trying to understand the people's responses around us and things like that.
Yeah. And we are such a culture of wanting answers and fix it nows and immediacy. Mm-hmm. It's hard, I think, to take a step back and realize that there's not an immediate fix right now. This is new. This is uncharted for us. And we're not the only ones in this. I think when I think back, this is the first time, at least in my years on this earth, that we have all been as a planet in this together, mm-hmm. that we are all doing this and not knowing how to do this. And so there is no perfect way to have a stress response. There is no perfect way to stay isolated and locked down in your home when you're not used to that. And I think allowing ourselves and other people to kind of break down those expectations that we have for normal life, because right now it's not normal. And I think, you know, what we're seeing is a lot of people setting themselves up for expectations based on social media and based on the news and all these great ideas and all these like perfect looking things, when in reality, Same with social media. We have no idea what happened 5 minutes before that picture or that mm-hmm. video or what's going on in the midst of it. And so, like you said, if we just need to take a step back, if we need to look at ourselves, if we need to ask somebody else, and just realizing that, hey, it's okay. We're going to get through this and there's no expectations.
I remember, and I'm just thinking of this because I've seen so many now that people have their kids at home. And if you haven't homeschooled, you know, suddenly like trying to create this perfect homeschool setup. And my kids, my older one's in college, but my younger one still goes to a university model school. So you're home 2 days a week and then you're at school 3 days a week, but they set the curriculum and everything. But when we moved to that school years ago, someone interviewed us and she said, there are going to be days where you just want to go outside and throw all the books in the pool and like you're just going to be done. And she said that at our interview, and I remember that it helped me so much, because if you go on and Google homeschooling or whatever, you know, get all these great ideas and you get these expectations in your head, and then that cannot be what it's like some days. You know, you just get that level of frustration. And I just remember the fact that she told me that, then when those frustrating days came, I was like, okay, this is just one of those days, you know, and it, so it helped my expectations.
Mm-hmm. And so, I think, you know, if you are somebody with kids as a parent, you set yourself up for such high expectations as a parent. And then when you don't meet them, you have all this parent guilt, you mm-hmm. know, about, oh, why couldn't I be like that? And, you know, I was seeing this thing on Facebook, very similar, where homeschool looked amazing. This mom was doing all these great crafts and ideas and chore centers and all this stuff. And I was thinking, okay, my kids are not there yet, but would I be as creative as her if my kids were there? Thinking she had it all together. And then the next day she posted a letter from her daughter that was like, my mom is stressed. Homeschool is not going well. I don't know what we're going to do. And so I remember thinking, okay, that's a reality check of what it looks like. And she handled it with grace and took a step back and was like, yep, this is life. It did not go well today. And being able to say that, that it's okay. If you need to give your kid a little extra screen time just to get a little bit of a break outside because you're about to lose your mind, give them a little bit of extra screen time. If your house needs to stay messy for a little bit, that's okay. If they need to scream and yell for a little bit, that's okay. You probably do too. And so just really taking some of those expectations away and allowing ourselves a little bit of grace, just like everybody else, that we're humans and it can be hard. Mm-hmm. It can be really hard. Even people that homeschool all the time can be hard. And so allowing ourselves not to feel guilty for needing just a little bit of time or a break or a day that you go, forget it. We're not doing school today. We'll do it tomorrow.
Well, and I think that even I saw, because some of the people I know that do homeschool full time, you know, said this isn't our normal day either. I mean, they're normally mm-hmm. getting out. They're going to the library. They have activity. They aren't just stuck at home. So this really is unfamiliar territory for everyone. And I do like that you're talking about the whole expectations thing. I know that there's supposed to be a conference this weekend at Stonebridge Church, and it'll happen again in the future. But my husband and I were speaking together and we were talking about living with expectations versus living with expectancy. And I think right now, the living with expectancy of how can we look for those moments of joy, look for those blessings that we didn't have planned for right now, whatever mm-hmm. that is, instead of starting out our day with these expectations of how it's going to be, because it's just not going to be as we planned. Mm-hmm. So getting to live that out in a different way than what we had planned for ourselves, but it's part of the journey.
Yeah. And, you know, something you mentioned with talking about kids, and as we're talking about kind of having these kids at home, kids have different responses too mm-hmm. in this situation. I think sometimes we forget that this impacts them as well, but they might not be able to verbalize it the way we do. So younger kids might have behavioral issues that they hadn't had before. They might start acting out and temper tantrums. And I have parents coming in saying, what is happening right now? Well, their routines are thrown off. The consistency is thrown off. They don't have their friends, or they don't have certain people in their life right now. They're having to do it all on video. And so everything's thrown off. And so a lot of times right now we're seeing that these kids' behaviors are what parents want to address. And so I've been telling them, we need to talk about the feeling that's driving that behavior. Mm-hmm. And they're just as thrown off right now too. So really talking to our kids about how they're feeling about everything going on right now. They're missing out on a lot. Our teens are missing out on a lot. There's lots of grief going on right now about lots of missed memories and opportunities and things that people had planned. And so younger ones have different responses too.
So because some people may not have previously been having these conversations about mm-hmm. feelings. So maybe you could give an example of talking through this with a kid.
Sure. So let's just say we have a younger kid and all of a sudden he's throwing temper tantrums and he's just acting out. So when he's not acting out and he's calm, you know, just sitting down and saying, you know, you seemed really upset. You know, I wondered, are you feeling kind of mad? Are you sad? Are you happy? What does that mean? And even if they don't know, saying, you know, when I get really mad about something, I want to stomp my feet too. And my stomach feels tight or my chest feels tight. And I feel like I just want to explode. And so let's take a step back and breathe. And there's lots of great activities, worksheets, and things like that on Pinterest. I'm mm-hmm. sure everybody's on Pinterest right now that help you walk through if you've never had a conversation about feelings with your kid, kind of different feelings things. Inside Out is a great movie to bring up for kids.
Yes, that is a good movie.
And there's lots of books as well, but really just having that conversation about what does it feel like to be mad? What are other times we get mad? You know, when your brother takes that toy from you, I bet you feel pretty mad. Do you feel that way right now? I bet when you don't get to have your favorite candy, you feel pretty mad or sad. Do you feel that way right now? And kind of helping them to identify what is that feeling that you're feeling right now? And then once you kind of do that, you're able to walk them through, okay, when I'm mad, I'm going to take deep breaths. Let's try it together. Or let's pretend we're blowing bubbles and blowing the biggest bubble that we can. And so then you teach them what to do through those big feelings that they have going on. And as we teach kids to identify their feeling, what to do with them, then you start to see some of those behaviors go down. Easiest way for parents is really just to role model their behaviors. And parents really struggle with this because they feel like a parrot just kind of walking around, but they might be doing the dishes and they'll be like, I'm so happy that I have dishes today, or the house might be a mess. I am so frustrated that the house is messy today. And just kind of talking through the feelings that they're experiencing throughout the day, and kids pick up on that. And if they stub their toe, oh man, I'm really mad. That hurts so bad. Well, kids will start recognizing that. And then they'll say, I'm really mad that I have to go to bed early. And parents will look at me like, how did they know that? So it's really modeling those behaviors for them too, and those feelings.
Well, I know having a teenager and a college student at this point now, like what we're doing as a family, and maybe you can give some other suggestions as well, but just that time where we are together at the dinner table, or when we're maybe FaceTiming our college student, you know, we just make sure to take time to say, hey, how are you feeling about things? And then listening, but not trying to solutionize, because that can be something that happens in a family. If we feel uncomfortable with the fact that our kids are disappointed or whatever, we try to kind of fix it. So, you know, just being willing to make space for that discussion and let them share and listen and say, yeah, you know, I can understand that right now. And then letting that be is one way we're doing that. Is there anything else that you think would be helpful as far as having older kiddos?
I mean, I think that's great. You know, you brought up the point of really making sure that you're not trying to take that feeling away from them and fixing it. And I think that's the big thing right now with really all ages, is allowing them to feel that. If they're scared, okay, it's okay to be scared. It's a scary time. Mm-hmm. Are you worried? Sure. And so I think that's great, just having those discussions, if you can, at a dinner table or throughout the day. Journaling is really great. And then if they want to share something from the journal, they can journal. When they're older, sometimes they don't feel like sharing every day. So allowing them space to do it on their own. But then if they want to come share, share. I know some people that do kind of like the dinner table thing, and they will bring up, name one good thing from your day, one thing that didn't go so great, and one feeling you had throughout your day. Mm-hmm. And so that allows, it doesn't have to be right now how you're feeling about everything, but just a feeling in general, which they say usually ends up to more conversation because they've started that. So I think that's a great way. I've had some families that do family drawings together at home. And so they get a big piece of paper and they all just draw about their feelings. And then it ends up being this beautiful artwork, even if you're not an artist. It's just drawing together and getting together, because sometimes words are hard. And so getting it out on paper can be helpful too.
Well, and even spending time, you know, if our kids aren't as comfortable having maybe the feeling discussion face to face, all sitting together at the dinner table, like when you're doing another activity. I know for my daughter and I, it's usually like we'll go walk the dogs at the end of the day or whatever. And, you know, that's a good time because we're mm-hmm. doing an activity. And so it's a little easier versus everybody staring at each other sometimes. Right. So, because teenagers have a little bit different way they go about things. So,
yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just allowing them timing, you know, opening that door sometimes is all they need. Hey, if you want to talk about anything today or how you're feeling, I'm here if you need it. And letting them know, I'm not going to try to take it away from you. I just am here if you need to talk. And I think, you know, you brought up the point with younger kids, they might not express themselves either. Mm-hmm. And so they might do it through play and allowing that. You know, if they're really angry and they're knocking over some blocks, let them knock over the blocks as long as they're not hurting themselves or other people. And that might be how they're expressing their anger. If they're sad and they want to lay in bed and read a book during the middle of the day, let them. You know, they might be feeling kind of down at that moment. That's okay. So kind of allowing kids and teenagers, whatever space it is for them, that they feel comfortable to express their feelings, knowing that you're there if they need you.
Those are great tips. And I think as the days go on, we're going to have plenty of time to practice these things yes. for them to become part of our daily life. So how about for adults that might be struggling? Like, what are some coping strategies that you're suggesting for adults going through this right now?
Sure. So, you know, a lot of things it's hard right now because you can't like run to the gym and work out. Mm-hmm. Really getting outside and getting some fresh air, it will really make a difference, even if it's just a couple times a day. Journaling, I even think journaling for adults is great. Taking long baths or showers, getting a few minutes to read a book that maybe you wanted to read. I know sometimes with younger kids, it's kind of hard, but even if they're taking a nap instead of cleaning the house, if you just need to rest and take a nap or lay on the couch and not do anything or open that book, do it. Getting outside and running, doing any type of exercise. You can do exercise as a family too, but sometimes you just need that space by yourself. Turning on some music. Those are kind of the things that we've talked about with a lot of the adults right now because some of the stuff is taken away. I know cooking is really therapeutic for a lot of adults. So if there's a recipe and you can find the ingredients.
Yes, that's a little catch there. I'm thinking about that lately.
Something that maybe takes all day to simmer and you don't normally have all day and you have the ingredients for it, then going ahead and doing that. Mm-hmm. So some of those things can be really helpful. Adult coloring, as silly as it sounds, can be very therapeutic. Doing something like a hobby or a craft, even as an adult, can be really helpful.
I know at our house, we have a puzzle going right now. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, something that we're doing. And then taking advantage this weekend, it was raining. So taking advantage of like online workout type mm-hmm. videos, just to keep that routine. Yeah. Because that's a big part of our routine in our house, usually some kind of workout during the day. And then with journaling, I found helpful, and this is something I do anyway, but starting my journaling with a gratitude list. I usually journal in the morning. So it's just helping me keep my eyes open during the day, being more expectant, like we talked about. You know, what are these good things in the day so I don't miss them, and really focusing on them. So that being intentional about that has helped.
Those are great. And, you know, to go along with that, there's this idea, if you hadn't heard about it, called mindfulness, mm-hmm. which is being aware, being in the present, what's going on here and now. And so when we talk about recognizing our own feelings, that's being mindful of our feelings. And luckily, with YouTube and all these other great technological things, there's apps to help you practice that. And so maybe it's getting on an app for 5 minutes that makes you intentionally meditate on your deep breathing. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be hard for those that haven't done it before because our minds are so used to wandering and being distracted and doing 50 other things at a time. But this would be a great time to take that up when you don't have anything else to do. Well, I say that. You probably have school and you have work and you have all these other things, but when you might have a little extra time at home to focus on it. So meditating or doing some mindfulness is a really great coping skill right now, and also helps you recognize those feelings and look at the gratitude of things.
Well, and help us remember to breathe, because I know mm-hmm. when you're anxious, that's one thing I'll tend to do is hold my breath, mm-hmm. you know, and you don't even realize it throughout the day that you're kind of holding all that in. So mm-hmm. taking that time to do that helps me to remember, oh yeah, I need to breathe.
Right. And since, you know, we're talking about medical stuff with anxiety, what happens is people think that they just need to breathe fast. And when in reality, that closes off the blood vessels, it constricts that oxygen that can get through it, and it can actually make it worse for you. So if you do start to feel anxious, to remember that slow deep breaths will actually allow more oxygen to get through your body and will allow you to relax a lot faster than if you were to breathe really, really fast, because you're just going to close off that oxygen. So if you find yourself getting anxious, just do that, you know, practice some of that slow breathing. It's usually helpful to practice when you're not anxious too. So when you get to that point, you know what to do.
So I did want to touch a little bit on counseling right now, because I know that that may look different for people right now too. So I know that in y'all's practice, you're using the option of doing telehealth. So maybe explain for our listeners who haven't done counseling that way, what that's like.
Sure. So yes, right now we have set up extra precautions, and we are doing those that need to be seen in person for the time being, with extra sanitizing precautions and things like that. But what telehealth is the option to do a video session. There's lots of different providers out there, or apps, or ways to use it. And so each professional will use whatever their preference is. But essentially, it's the same. You sit on your end of a camera while the counselor sits on the other end of the camera, and you have a session like you normally would. At first, it can feel a little weird because you're just sitting on a camera and you can't shake hands, you can't say hi in person. But we're finding a lot of great responses from clients because they feel more comfortable in their home right now anyway. You can wear your pajamas and nobody cares. And so, yes, a lot of people have gone to what we call telehealth or video sessions. We're even doing some with kids. So doing play therapy, or just doing some type of play or art activity with the kids that we would normally do in counseling, we can still do that through a video. Some kids are really loving it because they get to use their own toys and their own arts and crafts mm-hmm. with the counselor. So it can still be done with kids as well.
That's great. And then also another option, you know, our support groups online right now. I know that I'm a person that does 12-step meetings. And so this weekend, one of the groups I go to had the Zoom meeting, and I didn't realize that we hadn't been in our house that long, but just seeing everybody's face, it was like this moment where I could, oh, okay, like just seeing all those familiar faces and having that space. And I know that there's quite a few of those starting, even if it's not a 12-step program, but counselors and different people starting different groups right now to do it that way instead of in person.
Yes, yes. I think, you know, as a mental health community, we're doing the best that we can. And we really do want to still be able to provide whatever help we can to people, because this is a really stressful time. And, you know, like we talked about, all these different responses and feelings that people might have. And so we don't want anybody feeling like they can't have that help. And so I think, you know, as a community, we have a great community here that is really working together to figure out how can we reach people? How can we help them through this time? Is it through video, or some people, they don't want to be seen and they just want to be on the phone. And that's fine too, because it's the same type of confidentiality as it would be a video session. And so really just trying to meet everybody where they're at. I know a lot of people, including myself, have started offering weekends and after hours. So those people that do have young kids, they can have a session after their kids are in bed or why they might have more help on the weekend from a spouse or a partner or somebody. And so I know people are really doing the best that they can to extend those type of circumstances too.
Yes, I think everybody is being flexible. So if you're someone who's needing help and thinking, oh, well, no, it won't work right now, there's lots of different options. And, you know, even as other needs arise, people creating things to try and meet those needs. So definitely reach out and we'll help you find that.
Yes.
So we always end with some kind of story of hope. And I know that this podcast is a little different because this is something where we haven't gotten through it yet. We're still in the process. But I still think that there's a lot of hopeful things happening in the midst. Just, you know, we talked about a little bit of that today. But what's something that comes to mind to you to leave our audience with today around hope?
So I actually have quite a few things that I'm pretty hopeful about in this experience. And I'm sure a lot of people are familiar, but when I saw in the news that the Venice Canal was clear for the first time in so long, and there's swans and there's dolphins, I mean, that's amazing. It hasn't looked like that in so long. I think our planet is kind of getting a little reboost right now. You know, pollution rates are down and littering's down. You know, all those things are down right now because we're having to stay put where we're at. We're not allowed to travel. We're not allowed to get out and do those things right now. And so our planet is probably recovering a little bit, which I think is a beautiful thing. But I also think, you know, like we talked about earlier, we're such a busy society. We're goal getters. We want to do the best that we can and go as fast as we can so that we can be achievers. But right now, this is forcing us to stop. And I think for a lot, it's having us look at our priorities and take a step back and really embracing some of those moments that we either have in silence or outside, or when we do get to communicate with somebody, or that moment with our kids, or embracing the messiness and just really reconnecting onto some core things. And so that's kind of hopeful for me. I like that idea of being able to take a step back, even though it's stressful, mm-hmm. even though it's changing a lot, people are in a lot of uncharted areas right now, to be able to refocus on ourselves and on our family and on our friends in a new way.
I know. I think that on the other side of this, I think we are going to hear just a lot of stories and a lot of hope in the stories of kindness, mm-hmm. you know, that are going on right now too. Or just like in Italy, where they were all opening their windows and singing. There's just new ways we can all come together. So that's going to be a positive on the other side too, is to hear those, all those stories.
Absolutely. I think because this isn't hitting just certain people, it's not just affecting a certain country or a race or anything like that. This affects all of us. And so that can really be a unifying thing for us, that we are all in this no matter what, no matter what walk of life you're from or where you grew up or anything, we're all in it together. And I think that's really hopeful.
So before we end, I just want to say, if people want to find your practice, it's on our website, which is mosaicsofmercy.com, but share how they can find the practice that you're a part of and get in touch with you.
Sure. So you can go to our website. We're the Center for Hope and Healing. It's .net. And there's a couple ways. So we're going to have resources and videos and things like that that are coming out. You can sign up for our newsletter on there to receive different things that we're going to be putting out during this time to help you. But also there's a submission form. You can just fill out your name and it goes straight to the center. And then we get somebody in touch with you, one of our counselors. Even if you're just figuring out, okay, what do I do now? Please reach out and we can help you. We can help you figure out what the next steps are, what would be available for you, what would be the right fit, because we really do just want to help. We just want to get people to the right person and help them through this hard time.
So we will also have that information in our show notes on our website. And then we have a new space on our website just for resources during this time that says COVID. So that link will be there as well. So you can go out and sign up and, you know, get the newsletter and get whatever resources they are putting out to help you. So thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope this has helped just shine some light and some hope in your day. Feel free and share this with other people, and so they have the same tools and resources brought to them. Thanks so much.